Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings to everyone, Ma'at Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always feeling blessed and always grateful to be able to communicate with you and to bring you, of course, information and insight into issues and situations and so forth that is relevant to us as a people, and certainly that is designed to help us move forward as we strive for real liberation. Before we begin our program, as usual, we always like to give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we always make it known that we are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. New Day Resurrection and Liberation is, of course, an apparatus that we utilize to continue the work, of course, from the original historic Million Woman March and now its global movement, but also a tool that is designed to, again, tap into and bring forward the work, the synergy, and all of the things that are necessary as it pertains to our ancestors for the next steps of what it is that is needed to be truly victorious in becoming free and of course, in obtaining justice in that process. And that is why we often say here, Ma'at Hotep, because it is truly something that we not only believe, but that we aspire for and towards, and that is, of course, ultimately to have peace, but certainly in the interim or in the path as we approach that, we know we must obtain justice. So, with that said, this segment tonight is to continue the dialogue, the work, the strategizing, etc., as it pertains to justice for Rekia Boyd. A little later on, we're going to have on our live line Brother Darian Boyd, who is one of the other biological brothers of Sister Rekia. Last week, if you all were tuning in, or if you got a chance to listen to the program during some time in the week, then you would have heard that we did have one of Rekia's brothers on last week as well, and that was Brother Martinez Sutton. Tonight, we're going to kind of recap and get an update on what has occurred this week. What we do know is that the police person who is responsible for the murder of Rekia is still on active duty. There has not been an official report given yet. We've been told that the matter is still under investigation as it pertains to the city officials there. But nevertheless, once again, from what we've been told, the reports that we received, the police officer is still working. He's on a desk duty, but he is still receiving pay and is actively working, as it has been said. So what we're going to talk about tonight, of course, is that, and certainly the fact that he shouldn't be working, the fact that there needs to be something said from the so-called police officials. The investigation needs to be brought forward as well. And we need to be prepared for whatever it is they do come with, and we certainly anticipate that that will more than likely be, as they have already stated, a justified shooting. Why one would, you know, say something is justified, and in fact the investigation had not been really even started to any degree of reality at that point when this was said, by the police commissioner, I believe it was. Nevertheless, it was deemed then that it was a justified shooting. And we're talking about within a day of the murder. Well, we know how all of that goes, but nevertheless, we are going to continue to move forward, to continue to monitor, and certainly continue to demand that there is justice and that we do get some real insight into what happened, and of course that the person who is responsible must certainly pay his dues, you know, needless to say. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking with very shortly thereafter Brother Darian Boyd. In the meantime, again, I've kind of gotten a hold of this new tune, and I really like the music. I really like the rhythm, and I also like most of the words, too. So while we take this break, I'm going to share with you one of these tunes that I've kind of grabbed onto lately, and it's called Go Get It. I think I might have played it a week or so ago, but, it warrants being played again. Because that's what we got to do. We got to go get not only our blessings, we got to go get justice. It's like you're looking through a telescope to see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You make a person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, because they built your love through. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your head. Your place ain't never come. Sometimes don't you get caught up here. You got your dreams and you got your path and you got your God. He's gonna take you right on. Everybody's had the seasons, and I believe this one's yours. Cause you've been working, waiting, this what you've been waiting for. That's going to be one of our, I think, one of our new slogans or mottos. Go get your blessings. Go get your justice. You know, it kind of, I think I realize now why I like that tune also, because I remember having conversations with Queen Mother Dr. Dolores Blakely, and oftentimes she talks about and tells stories about Queen Mother Moore. And she always talks about how Queen Mother Moore used to always say, "Go get your reparations, children. Go get your reparations." So I think perhaps that the title of this song, maybe that's what triggered part of why I liked it so much. But nevertheless, go get your blessings. Go get our justice. All right, moving right along. I'm going to give you a couple of announcements and reminders. And that is, of course, if you're in the Philadelphia area, next Saturday, Tracy Syfax will be joining us. Tracy Syfax wrote a book by the name From the Block to the Boardroom. He wrote a very, very interesting book, and one that I found to be very enjoyable, and most of the folks, not all the folks that I have also talked to about the book enjoyed it. I even met a few people today when we went down to Mama Akiola's to take some flyers down there. This is the location that Tracy Syfax is going to be next week doing the book signing. But we're going to also talk about the issue of mass incarceration, why it is, and, of course, what it is that we need to do to really begin to bring greater attention to it, and also to do the work to make sure that they don't keep trying to do that. So, again, we're going to have Tracy Syfax here in Philadelphia. He really, started in the hood, as it said, but, you know, doing not so very positive things, ultimately ended up getting shot. Ultimately ended up going to jail, but now has created a multi-million-dollar construction business. I met Tracy not too long ago, maybe a year or so ago, at a conference. One of our sisters in Newark put a conference together to address some of the concerns around what people call reentry. And Tracy was at that particular conference because he's very interested in helping and working with brothers and sisters who are what they call formerly incarcerated. I don't like the terminology of ex-offenders because, that's another dialogue. I'll go back into that at another time. But nevertheless, they are formerly incarcerated. And Tracy Syfax is very interested in, you know, doing something to work specifically with brothers and sisters who, have that experience or have gone through that experience. So we are going to talk with him further about that. Even though he's coming to do the book signing, we also plan to talk with him about what it is that we can begin to do here in Philadelphia, in Trenton, in Newark, in Camden, and in other locations, based on the experiences that he has had and certainly what he's been able to build. We want to connect some of those dots and begin to see how we can get some of our folk who, again, have gone through, those various types of tribulations, how we can get them into learning and obtaining various types of training that is known as, construction building skills. So when Tracy Syfax comes into town, we're going to talk about that because we do have several kinds of focuses that we plan to bring forward for the Men and Women Movement in terms of dealing with our sisters, but certainly because we also have a component known as Brothers in Support, there will be certain things that will also be there for brothers as well. So again, Tracy Syfax will be here in Philadelphia at 4 o'clock. He will be at Akiola's Cafe, which is located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue. And then later that evening, he'll be at the Moonstone Cultural Center, and he'll be there at 7 o'clock. Now, that's going to be a very powerful discussion because, that's going to be also like a symposium in addition to a book signing. and folks who, you know, again, various activists, various organizations, concerned folk, and certainly folk who, again, have gone through that experience will be coming to that session to really talk about what things really need to be done to really help put an end to this massive incarceration, to recidivism, which is, again, this revolving door of coming out of prison and then going back in, and certainly how we can be more productive in our community in making certain that we can assist our people who have gone through this kind of situation, how we can assist in having them to be in our community in a way that really has been productive, vital, and, you know, just right with us. So this is our plan and our focus. And, again, next Saturday. Now, Tracy is going to be on my show. We're going to do a special edition of New Day on Wednesday. And so he'll be coming on at 8 o'clock. So you'll be able to hear, you know, his story about how he came about in writing from the board. I'm sorry, from the block to the boardroom, and also what he's been doing since he's been released and of course, in building now a multi-million-dollar business. So, again, tune in next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, 8 o'clock, when we talk with Tracy Syfax. Okay, now, let's see. We're going to go back to our topic for tonight, and again, we're going to, every week, every week we will talk about, we will focus on, we will report on the situation that has occurred on March the 21st, and we're talking about, again, the murder of Rekia Boyd. We sent out an e-blast earlier, and that e-blast basically said now that there has been an arrest with the Trayvon Martin situation, we now ask the question, can we now get some justice for Rekia? I mean, that's a relatively simplistic question. The answer may not be as simple because we know that our people, for whatever reason, have a tendency to gravitate to things that seem to have a lot of hype, and certainly when the system tends to push or place before us individuals that they really want folks to follow, which is kind of a distraction from, you know, some other real kinds of things happening. What we saw, of course, and don't get me wrong, absolutely our people needed to be and still must be very vigilant about standing up and making certain that Zimmerman and whomever else may be involved do not get away with what has happened. But at the same time, we also have to realize and recognize some other kind of timing that's going on, meaning that as you hear the mass media, and I'm talking about coming from the black community or coming from melanated folk, what you hear, of course, is also something about how important it is for folks to vote. So it just seems a little ironic that on one hand there is a discussion or there's a focus on the fact that a vigilante with a police state frame of mind went and did something that you know, he just wanted to do, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to do a sidetrack for one moment. Thankfully, because we are in a internet realm, I don't have to be as journalistically locked in, meaning I can say pretty much what I feel as a communicator too. So that means this. I believe that this man did exactly what he wanted to do, period. I said it. I don't retract it. And whoever doesn't like it, what can I say? But the bottom line is, while that is being said, the other thing that you hear being said in terms of it's an injustice, or he needed to be arrested, and that's the key issue, and da 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 da. The other flip thing that goes with that, again, coming from the melanated media, is that, so you must remember to vote, because this is what will change things. So I just find it real ironic that with a major election coming up, that that's, an additional focus on the murder of this young brother. But the other thing, again, going back to what we're going to talk about tonight, of course, is how interesting that not just in this situation with Sister Rakia, but over the past 5 years, we've been tracking or been documenting cases and murders of black women and girls or missing sisters. And I'm saying that to say it just seems, for whatever reason, we just cannot seem to get the same kinds of commitment, the same kinds of energy, the same kinds of concern and so forth that we get from, other people. And again, as it may pertain to our young men. And I'm just, I can't help but to say there's something wrong with that picture. And I'm not going to not say that. I'm going to continue to say that, because unfortunately repetition works with some folk. And I'm pretty comfortable in saying and feeling that at some point more of our people will get it. And as a result, some action will be taken. I have confidence in our people. It just may take, a bit more of, keep saying it to get it through. But I have confidence that at some point our people will, in fact, say, yes, we need to address this issue of the fact that there's not a lot of voices being said about our sisters. But at any rate, we're going to talk about the murder of Rakia Boyd. I had the blessed opportunity to speak with Rakia's brother yesterday. Of course, last week I spoke with one of Rakia's other brothers, and that was Brother Martinez. But yesterday I had the opportunity to speak with Brother Darian Boyd. And I tell you, it's always a blessing when things are reinforced. And what I mean by that is we talk about family. We talk about black community, we talk about connectivity as a people. But, sometimes, every now and then, you can really feel that with someone. And I'm not a real, feely kind of person, meaning I deal with issues, I deal with what I have to deal with. I try not to get too caught up into the personalization of it, except when it comes to our sisters. I'll be honest and tell you, I do get real personal with that. But generally speaking, in terms of struggle, I try to keep it very focused. But I will say that in talking with Brother Darian yesterday, last evening, I felt like I was talking with my brother. I mean, really. I felt like there was a genuine connection. And with that said, I know that the work that is going to now come forward is going to be work that will indeed make Sister Rakia and their family proud, because we are definitely not going to stop. The murderer will have to, as I said, he will have to pay his dues. Period. I mean, I can't put it any simpler. It was not an accident. And when we talked to Brother Darian in a few moments, what you're going to hear is that obviously it's not only it was not only an accident, but when you have people who show no remorse, who show no it was wrong. I'm sorry. I mean, nothing. In fact, when we talked to him, you will hear him tell about how they seem to find it of some comedy. But we're going to also talk to you about what it is we plan to do. So please make sure you have a pen, pencil, or you're at your computer, you're ready to type in some stuff, because for Monday, we're calling for our first phase of action. And we will proceed after that and escalate into making certain that they know for certain this will not be happening. This is not going down quietly. It's not going down in the way that they think, period, but certainly not without there being some very serious, exposed kind of reality. So we're going to go to our live line, and let me see. Got a bunch of folks here, and I'm going to hope that this one is Brother Darian. Okay, let's see, at 6883. Brother Darian, are you on this line?
Yes, I am.
All right, just thanks, give thanks. Wonderful. How are you tonight?
As well as can be expected, I guess, given the circumstances. Certainly glad to speak with you this evening.
I know that's right, and you as well, and you as well. Well, of course, you and I spoke last night, and, you know, we're gearing up for the fight that we know we have, and, you know, we're ready for it. So what we want, I hear you. I just want to say this, that, you know, it's just, again, a blessing, because when I spoke with Brother Darian last night, I was so proud of him, as I had been also with Brother Martinez. But sometimes situations occur and, you know, there is, it is so much involved in it that, you know, the family members in particular are in a state of mourning. And as a result, cannot really focus on dealing with certain aspects of responding. And so, again, I want to applaud you, my brother, and your family for remaining very consistent and strong. I've been following the rallies and the demonstrations and things in the community. And, you know, again, I want to just, you know, say thank you and you know, send out all love, and our prayers are with you and for you and your family. But, you know, we have to take on some responsibility too, family, our listening audience family, all over the globe, all over the country. We too have to take on some of the responsibility of responding to this situation. So before we go into giving you some ideas, family, about some of the action things that we came up with, I'm going to ask Brother Darian to just kind of, you know, summarize, because I don't want to, you know, have you to keep unnecessarily, you know, repeating certain things. What we're going to do is tell folks to go to the website, and we'll give you that information, too, to get more details about what happened. But I'm just going to have Brother Darian to just recap just the, you know, the key things of what has happened for those who may not have heard, and then we'll give you information where you can then go and look further. There's videos available, and please feel free to contact us here at New Day, because we have a lot of information available as well, and we're compiling more. We're going to work with Brother Darian this week to work on a fact sheet so that you can just email us either to the website or email us here, and we'll be able to send you fact sheets and any other kind of follow-up things that become available. So, Brother Darian, if you would please provide us with just a general kind of overview of what happened on March the 21st.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. First of all, I want to thank you for, you know, the opportunity and for extending yourself as you have to help get my sister's story out here. But to address the story directly, it's basically a situation where on March 21st, my sister, who actually was supposed to be come in, and she was in Chicago. She was actually supposed to be moving out of Chicago or leaving Chicago and moving with my sister. She just wanted to sort of reroute, you know, some things and pursue other things. So the weekend prior to that, she was supposed to be taking a Greyhound bus to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to meet up with my sister and like I said, move with her. And unfortunately, she didn't make it. She got into a car accident that weekend and sustained some minor injuries then. So that didn't happen. That never happened. The following weekend, she was on the west side of Chicago with a friend. There were about 60 to 70 people out at the park. And an undercover police officer pulled up, rolled down his window. He was in an unmarked car. He was not in uniform and did not identify himself as a police officer. Witnesses say that at the time when he pulled up, he appeared to be intoxicated. And he started yelling out obscenities to Rakia and a couple of the people that were standing in the group with her. And obviously, like I stated, he did not identify himself as a police officer. So naturally, they shunned him. You know, they basically wanted to know what it is that he wanted with them. And in exchanging words with a man named Antonio Cross that was in that group, I guess that police officer didn't like what he heard, you know, or either his feelings were hurt or, you know, whatever excuse that he wants to use. But he felt the need to pull out his weapon and open fire on them, shooting more than 10 rounds. Striking Antonio Cross in the hand, who at the time was on a cell phone with an individual. The police, in fact, took his cell phone as proof of that. And in shooting, like I stated, over 10 rounds, he also hit my sister, Rakia Boyd, who was 22 years old, in the head, in the back of the head, as she was running away from the shots. There at the scene, he detained the man Antonio Cross, you know, until the police came, and the police came in and made their report. And in doing so, immediately jumped on the side of the Detective Dante Servant, and Superintendent McCarthy actually got on the news that evening and prematurely released the statement saying that the shooting was in fact justified. You know, without even looking into it, not talking about any ongoing or pending investigation to prove whether or not it was justified, he immediately made that statement and did not back it up with any type of apology to my family or the community for the carelessness, the careless actions of his detective, Dante Servant. Since this has occurred, you know, there's so many, you know, weird facts that have come out, such as the fact that at the hospital, the emergency room that my sister was in, that detective then showed up there in the emergency room and confiscated everything that had her name on it, you know, all of her identification and otherwise, you know, without reason. And know this because he did, in fact, have to sign off those items that he took from them. And there are a lot of other things like that in terms of developments that have come out that I won't, you know, spend a whole lot of time elaborating on. I will say this, though. Since this has happened, our family has not received, you know, any type of formal apology from the Chicago Police Department or the district attorney. We've received no information in terms of their supposed ongoing investigation that they have an outside entity conducting. You know, it's just been really difficult. We've contacted every news media outlet that we possibly can on our behalf, and in doing so have teamed up with them, and each time we've done that, they have extended their help by contacting the district attorney and contacting this outside organization that is investigating her murder, and have been unable to get any answers whatsoever. The only answers that we do have, or the only facts that we do have about what's going on with her case, is the fact that they have not placed the Detective Dante Servant on any type of restricted duty, you know, or he has not seen any penalty, he has not seen any change in his life. While we've lost, you know, a loved one, we've lost a beautiful soul whose life cannot be given back, you know, through this man's careless action. You know, our take on it is more so the fact that even if this man can try to justify her murder with whatever reasoning that he's saying that he opened fire, there are specific protocols that police officers are trained to follow in situations like that. Even if their life is, say, for example, threatened in terms of opening fire and a crowd of civilians.
Right.
And in fact, Dante Servin, back in 2008, was actually on the news in the newspaper and otherwise, for teaching cadets, proper protocol in terms of how to handle himself in a situation like this. And it's ironic that the same thing that he's supposedly teaching those cadets, he failed to follow those same proper protocols himself. And it's justified shooting that many rounds, to supposedly disarm a man whom he hit on the first shot, So my take is that if how concerned do we have to be that this man is still on the street and still doing work in terms of training police officers and, new cadets that are coming in, if he's teaching them the same practices that he used when he made the judgments that he did that day that took my sister's life, how many more, innocent lives are going to be taken by police officers just like him, that display the same types of careless action? So because of that, and to prevent that, that's why we're being proactive, being that we're not getting any answers back from them in terms of doing everything that we can and exhausting every opportunity that we can to try and get some answers behind my sister's death. That's all that we're asking for is an answer as to what occurred that day and some type of action to be taken on this detective, him to be held accountable as myself or you certainly would if we made the same type of careless action that led to the death of an innocent individual.
Absolutely. So, Darren, there's a couple of things, a couple of points, rather, that I think really has to be brought forward so that our people really understand not only the importance of this situation happening to one of our sisters, but also some of the areas that really kind of create the type of outrage or further outrage. Two things. One being that, and we've already, of course, talked about that they made a statement within a couple of hours of the situation happening that it was a justified shooting without, doing any real investigation or what have you. But to just, come out and say it was justified, that's a clear indication in itself. But then also to hear reports that there was some kind of discussion with in front of the police department's building or something, and
yes,
something was said to an officer regarding, did you hear about a woman being shot? Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, there are a lot of other developments, that are just eerie, really, really creepy that came up. And so insensitive and so cruel that, in light of someone losing a loved one, that we couldn't believe. One of which is what you're talking about. A couple of days after her death, my family arranged, a couple of my family members, along with a few organizations that participated, arranged a march out there at Douglas Park. From Douglas Park to the police station, not very far from there. They ended up at that police station, and at that police station, my little brother, Danielle Boyd, who is 23 years old himself, he walked up to two police officers that were entering the police station at that time, and he addressed them, not in a disrespectful manner or anything like that, but simply asked a question, saying, were you aware that one of your fellow police officers shot and killed my little sister unjustifiably? One of the police officers looked at him in his face and laughed at him and made the comment. He said, "So I don't care." And that was weird in itself to me. When he told me that, I was taken aback. I couldn't believe that someone would be so insensitive, you know, especially an officer of the law whose main job or main focus is to be to serve and protect the community, could be so insensitive, you know, following this tragedy to make a comment like that. So he called me and told me about it that day, and you know, we were a little distraught over it. Now, a couple of days later, in doing research on Detective Dante Servin, since we aren't getting any answers from the Chicago Police Department, we posted a picture of Detective Servin online on Facebook, and my cousin, Venetia Boyd, and my little brother, Danielle Boyd, went on and saw the picture. And they both immediately called me almost simultaneously, and were basically informing me that the police officer that he spoke with that day that looked at him and laughed in his face and said that he didn't care, that it was insignificant, was in fact Detective Dante Servin. You know, and you know, it just goes to show, you know, that his intentions that day, you know. And like I said, that's one of many, you know, developments that came up. Another development that came up in canvassing the neighborhood is the fact that several witnesses issued statements and will attest to the fact that the day prior to my sister's killing, Detective Dante Servin, because he owns property in that area, was walking around the neighborhood and making comments to, you know, civilians that basically, what does he have to do to get some peace, respect, and quiet around here? Shoot somebody? You know, and ironically, the very next day, he took my sister's life. He claimed my sister's life unjustifiably.
Wow. So this is why, again, I mean, it's, of course, tragic enough to have heard and have to now know, rather, that a life has been taken and the way that it has been taken. But now on top of that, to hear just the callousness of these people, of how they want to respond to this. And, you know, to me, this is really an example of the type of mentality that, I mean, I'm from Philly, and I can tell you, for as long as I can remember, this has been the type of disposition that we have seen in this city from so-called law enforcement. You know, Philadelphia has a history of a certain type of brutality, of a certain type of misconduct, and so forth and so on. I think it's Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. who really kind of brought to light the phrase police and governmental terrorism.
Absolutely.
Because now, I mean, that's what we're really seeing. We used to say police brutality or excessive force, you know, but what we're now seeing is, and not that it wasn't there before, but we just really can now associate, since, you know, so many other people want to talk about terrorism, we're now able to see how there is an association with terrorism right here in our communities. And so I think this, too, begins to show a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I absolutely agree with you.
There was a press conference this week. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, there were a couple of things that happened this week. This week we had a rally at the African American Museum in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And, you know, a couple of news media outlets came out there. And the one thing that I can say, you know, the one positive thing that I can say that I've seen behind this tragedy is that, you know, the people that we have gotten to step up and support this cause to seek justice for my sister, you know, and the news media outlets that have cooperated with it, you know, have been wonderful in doing so in terms of showing their support and coming out when there is an event, you know, to push this forward and get more signatures on her petition to prosecute Detective Dante Servin behind her murder. And at that rally, it showed just that. We had a pretty good showing in terms of people that came out that did not know Rekia Boyd personally. And
right.
I'm actually pleased to say that it was a lot of people from all different types of walks of life that came out, you know, on you know, the Easter weekend, you know, when I'm sure a lot of family was in town and otherwise to support her cause. And actually, when we got out there, almost immediately, it started raining really hard. I mean, it started coming down really hard. And
wow.
The people that gathered there to support her, you know, they didn't retreat. They did not pack up and leave or anything like that. We stood out there through the rain, even though it rained the entire time. And, you know, basically canvassed and got her story and flyers and her petition, signatures for her petition and some more people's hands. And, you know, I'm really appreciative of the showing of that. If we could duplicate that, you know, if we could multiply that and try to get continued support from the community, you know, I'm sure that anyone can relate. I mean, how many people have a family member of this age who have barely lived their life yet? You know, she wasn't doing anything. She was an innocent bystander. She didn't commit a crime. You know, she didn't do anything to deserve her life being taken unjustifiably like that. And so if we could, you know, just reach out to people and get them to relate or reach into their heart and think about if it were your sister, if it were your family member, your daughter, you know, or otherwise, you know, how you would want, you know, the community to stand behind you and to support you, because that's the only way that we're going to get anything done. That was great. We really had a good turnout there. And also, we did hold a press conference, or actually Martinez headed up holding a press conference with the lawyer that we have now retained regarding the wrongful death of her, and that did happen on Tuesday. And there's information about that online as well, and they can also find that at her website as well on the past or upcoming events page.
Okay, great. All right, Brother Darian, you just stay right there for a moment and just kind of take a breather. We're going to go to the phone line, and let's see, caller. Let's see, we're going to get a couple of comments, questions, and then we're going to resume with the dialogue, because family, remember, here at New Day, it's always good to communicate, to provide information, but our show is really about action. We are not here to just talk. We like to talk. We appreciate you all listening and engaging and interacting, but it's really about what we're going to do. So, you know, very shortly we're going to give you some of the things that we would like for you to begin doing, passing along, and so forth. Because as the brother just said, we need to duplicate some things, and we can. And in preparation for that, we have a few things that we're asking that you do. Most of these things will take only 5 minutes of your time, if that long. Okay, for those who may want to do more, we have some things for you in that regard as well. But let's go to the line for a moment. Let's see, caller, you're at the last digits is 2274. Did you have a comment or a question for us tonight, 2274?
Yes, how you doing, Empress C? And I'd like to speak to you and your guest. This is Brother Adrian out of Baton Rouge.
Brother Adrian, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing better than great in spite of the circumstances for the brother.
Right.
I would just want to just send my condolences as well as just let him know that, you know what I'm a part of, and just let him and his family know that we are willing to help on our end. I know.
Well, brother, you just did, because he's listening. He's listening to you, and you're talking directly to him. He hear you, and he can respond.
Well, I just wanted to say to you, sir, my name is Brother Adrian out of Baton Rouge. I'm part of a electronic service where we reach over 300,000 people in the Gulf Coast region. And, you know, us in the South, we have the fighting spirit as well as individuals in the North. So just let us know what we could do to help, and we'll do give you whatever assistance that we can on our end. I know we can't bring your family member back. I know we can't bring your family member back. But one thing we can all do is fight in her spirit to make
That's
sure
right.
that this doesn't go, because we have to let people know that justice is going to surrender, as well as during this political season, not just voting, but we need to form strong lobby groups that change public policy. We
yes,
not only
right.
lost Trayvon Martin, we also lost Troy Anthony Davis, we lost your sister, and we just can't let these things rest.
That's
Absolutely.
Right.
That's so
right.
very true. And you're so right, it's not just her. I mean, there are so many more. And we're determined to continue to move forward. This is not just about Rakia, you know, that this is about our general community, you know, about our right to live and our right to go about our lives without having to worry about the same people who are supposed to be upholding the law, you know, being the offenders.
All right. Well, that's what we're here for, and this is what we're going to be doing. Brother Adrian, thank you so much. We're going to give very shortly some of the things that we want people to start doing. So, Brother Adrian, please stay with us tonight, because we get ready to deal with some plans of action starting on Monday. And I can say this, that this is just the first phase of our direct action campaign to make certain that we obtain justice for Sister Rakia.
Okay. I'll be right here.
All right. Thank you, Brother Adrian. Okay, family, we're going to go to one more call. And let's see, caller, you're at 3887. Do you have a comment or question for us tonight, 3887?
Yes, this is Suzanne Brooks in California. And
yes,
I'm,
how are you, Sister Suzanne?
Fine, I'm calling to thank you so much for having this program. And although I sometimes have trouble connecting because of the time, I made sure I was here tonight. And I want you to know, you know how strongly I feel for all of our sisters, especially.
Yes.
And Brother Darian, I offer you my condolences. And I also want you to know I've been telling the story of your sister out here. And I just had looked on my website and see that another young brother in the Chicano community who's been in the marches and whatnot out here is carrying the information about your sister through those marches. So we are getting the word out here.
Oh, wonderful.
And people care here in California, and they are with you.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough.
Wow, that's wonderful, Sister Suzanne. Thank you so much. All right. Okay, well, moving right along. See, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Sister Suzanne, was there something else you wanted to share with us?
No, just I'm kind of emotional thinking about the topic.
I know, that's right. Yeah, I'm feeling it too. Okay, well, and it's all good. It's all good, because we know what has to be done, and we're going to do it. So it's
yes.
all good. All right,
yes.
my sister. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, let's see now. How are we going to try to do this next thing here? Okay, we're good. Okay, the next thing we want to do, family, I guess, is start giving you some information. One of the things that we want to begin doing this coming Monday is to begin sending faxes, emails, telephone calls to the various people in Chicago. We're talking specifically, of course, the police commissioner or superintendent, as he's called. We're talking about the mayor. We're talking about city council persons, and Brother Darian will tell us specifically who the council representatives are in that particular district, as well as the state representatives, as well as the senator in that district, as well as the congressional person in that district. These people have to be bombarded with phone calls, faxes, et cetera, et cetera. That's what our position is, or what our assignments are for this coming week, starting on Monday, and we're going to keep it going. So talk to someone, anyone, that if you have an e-list, if you have a group organization that you work with, your church, your mosque, or whatever, the call for this week is flood all of those places. The superintendent of the police department, the council people, the state rep, senators, congressional folk, and anyone else we could think of, but definitely they are the ones. And we're going to give you some information shortly to help direct you with some of that information so that, again, also letters. So in any way that you can, meaning via telephone, fax, email, letters. If you send a letter, please be so kind to also send it to us as well, because we are definitely trying to document everything possible. And, of course, Brother Darian's going to also give you information about the website so that you can go there to sign the petition. Now, we're putting some time pieces on some of this because we really need to see some action, and we need to make certain that we are prepared whenever they bring about their investigation report. We want to make certain that if it is not what it needs to be, we will be ready for the next step, and that will include going to the Justice Department if necessary. That will include a sit-in or something in front of the mayor's office or the governor's office or whatever. Okay, so we're letting all you know straight up right now that we are preparing to take this thing as far as we must take it. Now, that said, if someone has a comment or question, please hold it just for a few moments. Brother Darian, please give us the website information, email information, or whatever you care for folks to know in terms of contacting.
Sure. First of all, I would like to urge all of your listeners to seriously, sincerely, you know, look into your hearts, you know, and consider the circumstances, you know, surrounding this tragedy. And if you can, just place yourself in our shoes, you know, for once, because that's what it's going to take, I feel. It's going to take you guys connecting like that. It's going to take people truly doing some soul searching and you know, sacrificing all, you know, thoughts of dragging your feet or anything like that. You know, not to say that that's been the case, but I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. You know, in life, we get so tied up with life, everything, you know, our everyday life and the issues that we have with our own personal life tie us up to the point where we're sort of blinded to the other things that are going out, the unjust things that are happening in other people's lives. And, you know, it's easy to listen and to sympathize, but it's a whole nother thing. It takes a whole nother state of mind to actually, you know, stand up and do something to contribute to the betterment of our community. But that's what I'm asking everyone to do. I'm asking your audience to place yourself in my shoes and just feel what I feel for a moment. And let that be your driving force to stand behind this cause, because we're going to need each and every one of you in order to get something done. I do think that it was a great accomplishment in terms of what we did, you know, as a country for Trayvon Martin. I mean, he had over 2.5 million signatures, I believe that it was, on his petition. You know, that just shows the support. Those are just the people that signed his petition, let alone the different organizations and you know, independent parties that contributed in other ways to further his cause. And I'm simply asking for the same support so that we may see the same or similar type of resolution with this tragedy that has happened to my sister. Like you said, you spoke the truth when you said that when, it is a young black man, it seems like it's magnified a lot more, you know, in terms of support that you know, is received behind something like that to get justice for, you know, a matter like that, you know, and not to minimize that at all. I mean, certainly that was a tragedy, and we did what we needed to do to see something happen behind that. Now that man is arrested, as he should have been. And I'm asking for the same support behind my sister. As of right now, we're short, you know, right now we have about 1,600 signatures on her petition. I mean, we're going to need to multiply that. We need so much more. So, you know, if you guys could please, at the very least, visit her website at www.rightsforrakia.com, and I'll spell that out for you. It's www.rightsforrakia.com, and at the bottom of her homepage, her petition is posted there. If you could go there and show your support by signing her petition. Also, you can visit rightsforrakia.com to follow any new developments on her case. We'll be posting any new developments as they occur on her case there at rightsforrakia.com. Or you can go to change.org and locate her petition there as well. But either way, if we could get more signatures on it, the more signatures that we get, the more support that we have, the more pressure that is put on the Chicago Police Department, the district attorneys, the independent entity that's investigating her murder and otherwise. So we need it all, you know. Definitely with this action plan that we're putting forth on Monday, you know, to call national attention to this tragedy so that we can get support, you know, that certainly will help. If you guys can do as much as possible, you know, like the sister said, it wouldn't take 5 minutes of your time to do that. So if you guys could really do that, that would be much appreciated. In terms of the information for the parties that we're wanting to, you know, fax and mail and call to get some additional pressure on them and let them know that we're paying attention to this cause and we're following this cause and supporting this cause, by tomorrow afternoon, I will have uploaded all of that contact information on her page at rightsforrakia.com. You can locate it on the past or upcoming events tab. There will be a section that says that is titled "How Can I Help," and all of the contacts will be listed there. My brother Martinez Sutton, that is in Chicago, he is getting me the information, forwarding me the information that they received. The lawyer that we took on or that took on this case, he did some investigating and got all of that information. So I'll be uploading that and have that available to you by tomorrow afternoon. So if you guys could visit the website, get that information in, and as the sister said, just help us, you know, flood them with letters of support and of concern for, you know, this tragedy that has happened, and we would certainly appreciate it.
All right, definitely good things. All right, family, so what we're saying is tomorrow, please visit the website. Again, the website is www.rightsforrakia, and of course that's RightsforrakiA.com.
I'm sorry, if I can correct you, sister,
sure.
It should be rekia.com.
I'm sorry, rekia, okay, .com.
Mm-hmm.
So go there tomorrow and get the information, and also feel free to email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. We'll also, you know, make sure that we have the information available as well. And once you get the information, please pass it on. That'll be the other thing that is so important. It'll take 1 minute to make the phone call or send the email to these folks. And again, feel free to send us a copy of the email or the fax or what have you. But also just take another minute to also pass it on to someone else, meaning ask them to call that number or to email and say, you know, we want to make certain that there's justice for Rakia. You know, make sure you indicate in your correspondence or in your message to them that they need to act swiftly and to assure justice for Rakia. That's the battle cry here. Justice for Rakia Boyd. So please make certain that you indicate that in your correspondence. Of course, you can add whatever else you may wish to add. Please remember, though, be as clear and non-threatening. And what I mean by that is there's no need to, put any profane or any other kind of thing in the correspondence. We don't want to give them any reason or excuse not to accept what's being sent, okay? We don't want any of it discarded. If they discard it, they're going to do it because they just want to, which they can do, of course, and may more than likely, but we're not giving them any reasons to do that. So please make certain that you stay to the point and that your correspondences represent the type of integrity that we know, we are really about, okay? So if somebody else sends something in there, you all know that our position is to represent in a dignified manner, and that's what we're encouraging, that's what we're supporting, and that's what we are making certain that all of you understand as well. But again, it's so important, please, 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, to do this action step starting on Monday, and then pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. As we say, each one teach one. Well, we're dealing with struggle here. I know some of you don't like that word, and again, I don't care. I really don't, okay, because people say all these other words, and, I'm not going to keep trying to second-guess every darn thing we say. You know, we understand the political dynamic of that word, and for those who want to use another word, by all means, do so. But keeping in tune and in point with our ancestors, those who know the word understand it for what it really represents. And with that said, we're talking about making certain that we obtain justice. So whatever word you want to use is fine with me, but as long as we stick to what the objective is. And what is the objective? One, I'm sorry, Brother Darian, what was the officer's name again?
Detective Dante Servant.
Okay. Remember, family, it's very important that you remember names. Detective Dante Servant. Okay. I'll say it again. Detective Dante Servant. We want to make certain that this Detective Dante Servant is released from his duties. We're not talking about just some administrative, stuff or whatever. We want him dismissed from his duties until the investigation or whatever next step action is to occur. And based on the findings, that may suggest that he needs to be fired altogether. But at least for right now, he's not to be an active officer in any kind of way. That's one of our demands. The other is, of course, but before we go into that, I think it's really important that we also be very careful that we don't miss some key facts here that have been stated. And they, again, are one, that the officer did not identify himself. Okay? I think it's very important that we remember that. The other key fact or one of the other key facts was, of course, that it has been reported. And I'm sure, again, this will go more into the legal work that the lawyer will have to do in verifying the reports from the neighbors. But it has been reported that this officer has said previously something to the effect of, what do I have to do to get some peace and quiet around here? Shoot somebody. Now, let's take that back to the evening of what happened. There were, from what I understand, roughly 50, 60 people in the park. Supposedly, reportedly, the officer, who wasn't known to be an officer at the time, drove up and said something about quieting the noise or something to that effect. And then, of course, at some point, it resulted in him pulling out a weapon, firing. So the stories connect too well for it to, you know, to be fabricated or to be off point. It just connects too well. So, again, there are key factors here that you must really hear, because this is what really has to, I think, help you to be more motivated in seeing that we're not just talking about a tragedy in itself, which is, of course, the shooting, the murder, the life taken of a 22-year-old young black sister. So, okay, that in itself, of course, is a tragedy. But what we're also talking about is the other key elements here that goes beyond just the losing of a life. We're talking about the other things that go with this, the callousness, the irregard, the just, you know, I have some other words that I could say, and I guess one of them is going to be, there's a tendency in recognizing the modality of white supremacy. Now, one might say, well, you know, this sounds like this is a Latino person, or a percent, see, white supremacy can carry over, and that would be a conversation for another time, but I just want to provide that clarity. When you're dealing in a penal system, the overriding factor over ethnic backgrounds and so forth is white supremacy. Okay, so again, that's a conversation for another day, but I just want to put that out there to you. So, okay, family, so now we have our marching orders, and I know all of you are going to be very diligent in pursuing what we're talking about. For those of you who are writers, please, you know, help us. If you want to, you know, write something that we can start posting or whatever, Brother Darian, Brother Martinez, they need help. They need support. And many of you are, you know, excellent at what you do, you know, with the various writings that you do, the postings that you do, the other kinds of organizing and getting information out and connecting the dots and all of that. Many of you do that oh so well, and this is what the family needs. They need us to make certain that this information gets out. And so we've got to start hitting those hip-hop sites. Got to start hitting them, because, you know, they really be about a lot of tweeting and blogging and so forth and so on. We've got to make certain that we start hitting all of those social networks area. Those of you who have Facebooks, please, we'll start sending you information to start putting out on your Facebook. If you or any other kind of social media, the linked me or whatever it's called, that's another good one. Let's get this information rolling so that by April the 21st, 1 month, we need to know that we're really making some progress. Brother Darian, you have some words you want to share with us on that?
The only thing that I want to say is again, thank you. You know, for those of you who took the time to listen to her story, and again, if you like more details in the story, do not hesitate to visit her website at rightsforrikia.com. And I know that together that we're going to be able to do this. I know that together we're going to do it because we're not going to sleep until we do. Just like we came together and, you know, saw a resolution for the murder of Trayvon Martin, I'm confident that the same conscience that, you know, motivated people to support that cause will play a factor in getting justice for Rekia as well. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank you guys again for listening and thank you in advance for your cooperation and support and our journey to justice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before I let you go, Brother Darren, I'm going to bring Brother Adrian back in for a moment because the one thing that Brother Adrian did not mention, and I think it's important, and it is that, of course, he's in Baton Rouge. He's in the Louisiana area. And needless to say, the Genesis was something that, I mean, you know, several thousands of people ended up showing up in general Louisiana. And that's like not like just like around the corner somewhere, you know. People literally came there to show that they were very displeased with what went on there. And remember, we're really talking about something that was somewhat more symbolic. Brother Adrian, isn't that correct? Isn't it, if I'm remembering correctly, wasn't the major kind of issue dealing with the a noose around the tree and then consequently a physical interaction occurred, which then had these young brothers getting arrested and so forth?
Well, see, where it happened, it was different situations coming together. One situation started at a school where Justin Parker, a 22-year-old white guy, came on a high school campus with a unregistered pistol. Okay, that's one situation. And another situation at the Gina 6 High School was they had what was called a white tree, and that's where the noose was hung. And one of the Gina 6 said, we're not going to have no more white tree, black tree, and all of this kind of stuff. So when one of the Gina 6 said, he stood under the white tree, one of the white kids approached one of the Gina 6, and that's where the physical altercation broke out.
Right.
Now, that was one situation. In another situation, it was where a situation that happened at the gas station where some of the Gina 6 were attacked, and other black individuals defended one of the other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So those were numerous of situations coming together, and that's where people got confused. But still, it was injustice on all levels.
Okay. So, but again, for point of clarity, there was not a life that was lost.
No.
Right. Right. Okay. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because, of course, the issue and the situation warranted folks to respond. There's no question about that. But the point that I'm also making here is that we are talking about someone being killed, someone being literally an innocent person, literally being murdered. So my point that I'm making, family, is this. You know, when we say justice for Rekia, we're not just saying justice for Rekia as it pertains to assuring that the system not only reprimands, but you know, that person is adequately dealt with within the judicial system. We're also saying justice for Rekia in that for us as a people, how do we respond to a situation like this? If we can show up in numbers, if we can sign 2 million petitions, if we can do these various things, certainly when there is a murder in our midst of a young sister, should that not warrant an action that represents justice on our parts? On our part, you see. So this is why it is so important that we understand amongst ourselves as well, we have to fight to make certain that the system does what is necessary in this situation. But as a people, we also have to make certain that we show justice based on the circumstances and the situation and act accordingly. Brother Adrian, thank you so much for giving us that clarity about the Genesis 6. And again, Brother Darren, I want to share that with you because Brother Adrian was there and played a role in helping to bring that kind of organization together. And so, you know, I just want you to hear and know that we have people on this line who are, in fact, organizers and are committed to make certain that we do what we know we're supposed to do. Brother Adrian, thank you so much.
Yes, and I'd like to thank you for the time. And also I'd like to commend the brother because so many oftentimes some of us as black men don't take the forefront. So I'd like to appreciate the brother for taking the forefront in an intelligent manner. So I'd like to commend him as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's the least that I can do.
Right. All right, family. We're going to close this segment out. And again, I thank Brother Darren for taking the time to join us this week. And as he, Brother Martinez, and the entire family, they know that we're here. We're here every week at this time. This is our regular radio programming. But fortunately, we can pretty much create a program at any given time. So that's the one thing that I really like about the type of programming that we have. If something should come up, where, say, for example, on Monday we hear that they're going to provide the report or whatever, we can let you all know via our e-blast and emails and so forth that that has happened and give you a report on it. And again, you know, we like to give you direct information when possible, so you can depend on that from us. But the bottom line is we are here for Brother Darian and for their family. We are going to make certain that each week we are able to provide you all with as much information, updates, et cetera, as possible. And, of course, if you all have any ideas, suggestions about action steps, if there's some strategies that you feel we need to prepare for or that you want to begin implementing or helping with, by all means, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com or go to the website, and there is email information there as well. But again, I'm trying to the best of my ability not to overburden Brother Darian, Brother Martinez, because they're doing a lot. And hopefully within the next week or so, there will be a structure in place so that those of you who do certain things can help with the website, can help with, you know, the coordination of other things, because they're going to be hitting the road soon, you know, going wherever they can to do speaking, to do, you know, other types of things to make certain that the information is flowing and circulating and that people are, in fact, actively involved, because there's some parts of this that only they really can do. And so there's some parts of this that we can do to take some of that burden off of them or some of that extra work off of them. So, again, I'm asking all of you, if you know how to make flyers, and some of you do, I know you do, if you want to create a draft or a flyer, please do that. Okay, you all are extremely creative. Some of you do buttons. Some of you do stickers. Again, anything that you think you might be interested in providing or in designing or what have you, Please contact Brother Darian. Please, of course, you know, make sure that you connect with the family so that, you know, we want to keep in sync with what the family wants done. So if, when possible, you know, kind of if you have an idea about something, you know, there's some things we like, you know, for them to look at and see perhaps. Of course, there's some things we sure you can just go ahead and put out free. I mean, free justice for Rekia, things of that nature. But again, this is the type of thing that needs to happen now. We need signs done. We need, we're going to tell you about next week. After this week, we're going to tell you about the next step. So we want you to get ready for some honks, okay? For those of you who understand organizing, you know we know how to get out in the street and hold up signs and tell people, honk for justice for Rekia. So that's one of the next steps coming. But first things first, this week is telephone calls. And then after that, we're going to start hitting the streets. If, in fact, they haven't given us the information that we need, then we have the next step ready, okay? Brother Darian, you have some closing comments for us for tonight, my brother?
The only closing comment that I have is that Tuesday there is a town hall meeting in Chicago where they're going to address, this issue with Rekia.
Okay.
And there are a lot of supporters that we have there from, like I said, a lot of different organizations. So you guys can follow that as well at rightsforrekia.com in terms of the developments of that. And I'll try my best to grab the video footage from that and upload that on her site as well.
Okay, and definitely for next Saturday's show, we'll provide, some updates on that Tuesday session as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, family. Well, sounds like we are on the move, as they say, and we are definitely, I think, making headway, and certainly there's much more to do, but, you know, we're off to a good start. So, Darian, I thank you again for... I know it's been a long day, but as we discussed already, we're up for the fight, so let's get it on.
All right, well, thank you again. Thank you so much to you and your listeners, and God bless you all.
Thank you, my brother. All right, family, we're going to move to our final segment for tonight, and interestingly enough, we're going to run our show over for a little longer. We usually go off at 12, but we are going to go over just a bit because we wanted to, of course, remind you about the passing of Steve Coakley. Wow, what did I say? Except for next week or soon thereafter, we're going to do a special show on Steve Coakley. We found it very interesting when we was able to obtain one of his last interviews, and we're going to play a little bit of that for you tonight. But before we do, one thing that we found, again, interesting about Brother Steve Coakley is that, you know, we knew that he was ill, and we have to be very careful nowadays about that because it seems that when people know that you have some kind of illness, for whatever reason, it seems like it gets worse. Now, that could be my imagination. I don't believe so. But nevertheless, we are going to, again, play for you just something very brief from Steve Coakley. But the one thing that I want to share is that later on in the week, I think it's going to be this week, we're going to play probably in the entire segment of the interview that we were able to obtain. And we're going to then have some folk who knew Steve Coakley very well to talk about some of his work, to talk about some other things regarding his work, but also how we can continue his work, those who dare, that is. But for right now, I want to share with you a telephone message that was left on someone's phone, I think it was in January, and this is Steve Coakley very briefly, and this will take us into some other portion of what we're going to talk about in regards to him. But this is a message left on the phone.
First saved voice message sent Tuesday, January 17th at 5:55 p.m. from phone number 202-256-2097. Duration 1:06.
Hey, Matt. This is Steve. Man, you don't know what you saved my life. I'm in the hospital. I didn't have major surgery. Went unconscious for 8 days. I'm in the hospital. Then I'm hopefully the IV show up, room 209. Boy, I don't have the right number in front of me. Let's see. I got the number written down. But, long story. And really, I don't know what happened. I don't know how I went unconscious, but I'm just coming back now. All right, man. But you saved my life. All right.
End of message. This message will be saved for 21 days.
Okay. Now, that was in January of this year. And again, for those who knows about Steve Covey, they did know, of course, that he had become pretty ill. But what becomes interesting about this particular situation is that there are some very kind of unique things that tend to override into some other deaths. Now, of course, Steve Covey was known for his what some called conspiracy theories. Although some of the information that he provided certainly couldn't be disputed. But it seems his death is, I'm going to let you all kind of determine that for yourselves. I'm not going to say a lot about it at this point in time. But I'm going to play a little bit of the interview, one of his last interviews, which occurred last month. March the 4th of 2012. This is Steve Coakley. Now, I'm just going to play a little bit of it now. I'm going to play it in totality probably later on this week or the following week. I'm trying to confirm two people who works with him very closely, and once I confirm when they're coming onto the program, I'll be able to let you know. And we're going to go in depth about some things. But at any rate, this is Steve Coakley. Last month.
You're listening to the Coakley Report. Steve Coakley is live and uncensored. Steve, are you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here and ready to roll.
That is good to hear, man. You've been through the mill here lately. Won't you let everybody know what's been going on in your life?
Well, we'll entitle this program "In from the Outback," because you almost lost me there for a minute, Matt. Audience, community, neighborhood, country, world. Strange thing happened. I would imagine that I could attest that me as a person, my life's ambition, my metaphysical responsibility has been to uphold some of the richest and most powerful people in the world. I feel that over the years, many communities have sought to avoid conflict with the rich and the powerful. In the recent year, we have seen develop amongst the people the concept of one versus the 99, which in effect is a appropriate formula for understanding the power dynamic. I have, with you and many others, have identified that 0.1% of the people who own and operate the world. They assembled in the late 1800s through an alliance between Cecil Rhodes and Rothschild, a plot to develop world domination. They sought to control countries by controlling its leaders, its resources, its media, its government, and as a result, sought to have the world adhere to their wishes and to their desires. I have stood to oppose them. Many people use the word Illuminati. I use the word Rhodes and Rothschild, as Carol Quigley denoted in his denoting a secret society formed by Rhodes and Rothschild that used a formation as a circle within a circle, an inner circle or circle of initiates, and an outer circle association of helpers. As a result, I have over the years been targeted by the rich and the powerful, who, you know, last night a group of guys were reminding me of a period when there was an assassination attempt on myself and my children, where a unidentified car shot through the window in front of my mother's apartment building in the 90s, after we had just done a lecture on the assassination of Martin King, revealing those people who have assisted in that assassination. In the 80s, late 80s, they reminded me of when I was attacked as special assistant to the mayor of Chicago and all the rich and the powerful of Chicago and the country came together to force the mayor to fire me on May 5th of 1988, which you could look up on many information sources. And this attack was a result of my identifying the rich and the priority, powerful as a priority of interest to be against. Many people have alleged to be against the Illuminati or the secret society, but they don't identify them specifically and have failed to come up with an identifiable strategy to eliminate or neutralize their influence over the masses of the people. If a few hundred people run the world, what do the rest of the people do? Do they enjoy their life ambitions? We're looking at 30% of the houses going into foreclosure. We're looking at people jobless all around the country. We're looking at military being used in urban cities. We're looking at conflict, contrived conflict between countries because the uniting of the so-called communists and capitalists. And as a result, the people have become the primary enemy. And as a representative of the people, I have been targeted. Most recently, in the last week of December, mysteriously, I fell unconscious in my home, and for 8 days, I was totally out. I have no memory of the 8 days that I was unconscious at Torrance Hospital. And in fact, if it had not been for a friend who, upon persistence, was able to come to the hospital where I was located and be put on his cell phone the picture, the film of me on life support. That's right, I could not breathe. Somehow the attack on myself, as similar attacks as most recently fell the key brother in Dallas, a sister with a stroke in Los Angeles, the death of Khalid Mohammed and Ishmael Berchango on the East Coast, and around the country, key people have fallen at home to death, quite inappropriately significant people, maybe not known by everyone, but in the community excessively useful in the areas where they preside. I believe this is a systematic program. I believe the rich and the powerful are prepared for overt world domination, and as a result, they are systematically and violently eliminating all possible opposition, and I am an opposer of this rich and powerful secret society, circle within a circle, Illuminati program for world control.
Okay. I think that speaks for itself. That was recorded in an interview, on-air interview, on March the 4th of 2012. A little more than a month later, Steve Coakley is pronounced dead. Well, family, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, okay? I have other things to do with my life and my time, but there's some things that I also don't mark up as coincidental either. And I found it I find it real interesting that he mentioned the two very kind of key people there that did, in fact, succumb to some kind of illnesses. He spoke, of course, of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mohammed and, of course, Dr. Berchango, two very outspoken men who definitely talked about the liberation of African people. So, coincidence or just, you know, regular kind of fact of life or whatever, perhaps. But the one thing that I've learned in these past years is that we do not do the right thing when it comes to our people. We don't help to protect them while they're with us. And then when something does happen that they're no longer with us, especially those that are kind of on the front line, we just act like, oh, wow, they passed, and leave it at that. Don't try to look any further. And so I've kind of made it a point not to do that and certainly encourage others not to do that. And so we're going to talk about the life and the death of Steve Coakley. We're going to compare some notes. We're going to act like we're supposed to do, or at least we think we're going to do that. We're not acting, by the way. We are being responsible in honoring those who, whether you like the person or not, whether you agree with the person or not, is not the point here. The point is that there are some relevant things that were presented in terms of our enemies. And on that note, on principle, we at least need to look at things closer to the best of our ability. And that's what we're talking about doing. It's not a personal thing. As I said earlier, this is about being honorable, being one of integrity, being one that is in fact intelligent and acting accordingly and being accordingly. So again, later this week we will do a special segment on, of course, Steve Coakley, his work, his life, and of course also his departure, his death. And with that, we expect to have a couple of people who worked with him closely, and that being one, Brother Henry DiBernardo. You may have heard of him. He has a newspaper here in Philly called Black Star, but also used to be on the circuit doing lectures and things of that nature. There's a few other people we're inviting to come on to talk about their interaction with Steve Coakley and also their analysis in regards to his death. So, family, we thank all of you again for staying in tune with us. We, of course, again, thank Brother Darian Boyd for, you know, spending the time with us tonight. And, of course, again, I would be remiss if I did not remind all of you again to please go to the website, www.rightsforrakia.com. And, again, we're getting ready for our first action step on Monday. Please go to the website tomorrow to get that information in terms of the specifics as it pertains to who you need to send your faxes, your emails, your telephone calls, your snail mail to, making certain that they know that we will be watching, we are watching, we will continue to watch and monitor, and we will be prepared to take the next steps that is necessary to make certain that there is, in fact, justice for Rakia. I'm going to kind of close out with how I started, and that was tonight to focus on, you know, saying, you know, we got to go get our blessings. We got to go get justice. And so, of course, with that said, I'm going to say, I leave you, of course, with the idea of Ma'at Hotep. And with that, we are saying, of course, that there can be no real peace until, in fact, there is justice. And so with that said, family, we strive for justice for Rakia. We strive for justice for all of our people. But for right here, for right now, the emphasis, the focus is justice for Rakia. Again, stay in tune with us whenever by hitting us via email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Or, of course, you can reach us at 267-636-3802. Until next week, family, we say tutanana. And we're going to also, let's see, there's something else I wanted to share with you very quickly. What was it? Oh, I want to remind you again that Saturday, if you're in the Philadelphia area, of course, there is a book signing that will take place here, two book signings, one at 4 o'clock at Atiola's Cafe. We will have Brother Tracy Syfax signing book. And then also at 7 o'clock, the Moonstone Center, and that, of course, is also here in Philadelphia. That's at 13th Street near Chestnut, and both events are free. And, again, feel free to communicate with us at nationalmwm@aol.com or call us at area code 267-636-3802. Until next week, hey, what can we say? Go get your blessing. And let's get some justice.
You were made to live a good life, and that's what I believe. So hit the floor, say a prayer, start working. You gotta do something. Sound like you crawl before you walk. Yeah. Sound like to walk before you run. But if you're trying to get what you never got, gotta do something. You never got it. Don't kid, don't kid.
Tanana Uhuru.